I was listening to a worship CD, not a CD, actually, I pulled it up on YouTube, something I heard years ago. Worship has changed over the years. Y'all know that, right? Yeah. Totally different. Unfortunately, a lot of worship is about us and not about Him. And I was listening to a Kent Henry. He used to do these, remember back in the day, some of y'all, if you were saved back then and listened to worship back then, Integrity Music?
Yes.
Yes, I listened to Kent Henry this morning. I was sobbing. It was just powerful. Had a little scare this week, and that's what the enemy does. Remember, fear is false evidence appearing real. And had a lump we had to go get checked out. And I was a little anxious, but when my oncologist said, I'm concerned, then all of a sudden, everything, I was like, oh, I don't want to go through this again, Jesus, you know. And I was praying and just, but what I did, as I was a little anxious, and I was by myself, I drove across the street, because they're in a new office, over to where I had to be screened and have an ultrasound. This is Friday. And all I could do is just start worshiping. I just started singing. Because I was by myself, I was a little nervous. And what happens when we begin to worship Him? I told you before, we were royalty, right? And the angels go before us. And see, when we call on Him, the Bible says He inhabits what? The praises of His people. And that's what He did for me. Gave me a peace. I was a little nervous because she said she was concerned. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I just began to worship. And I was just rocking and singing. And everything was a waiting period. You know, had to wait on the, and God was so good to me from the time I left. And this is why I tell you we worship. And that's where I'm going to pray in just a second. But I want to give you a precursor because I have to live this thing. Not just talk about it, teach about it. Got to live about it. Amen. And as I walked out of her office, and I told you, I was just starting to worship in my mind. And the woman getting into the elevator with me, God just, He just brought people alongside me all the way over and through the process. And as I was walking into the elevator, a woman said, I was sitting behind you because I was making the arrangements with the woman that trying to get me scheduled for that day. I mean, I just left the oncologist. And I like her because she doesn't wait on anything. And we move if we need to move. And so the young lady that walked to me, she goes, I heard you. And she goes, oh boy, you have to go through that rigmarole. And she goes, I've been there. And I said, I have too. And I said, but I'm believing God, this is just scar tissue. And that's what my prayer was. Lord, let it just be scar tissue, and, you know, from the healing, whatever. And so she goes, well, I'm going to pray for you too. I said, let's go. And that was getting in the elevator. Then I get over there and by myself. I get in the woman that's doing the screening. This is how good God is, because He knows I was a little edgy. But you continue to worship. And remember, when you worship, He inhabits your praise. And when angels, the Bible says that they minister to who? The heirs of salvation. Be careful of whom you might be entertaining, for you might be entertaining angels unaware. I think He had little angels pointed out for me. And I get in, the woman that does my screening, and she said, can you show me where, you know, the lump is? Can you show me where you had the lumpectomy? And I did. And she goes, well, I'm just going to, and this is what she said, I'm just going to believe it's fatty tissue and part of the scar tissue. I'm like, come on, in agreement. In my mind, you know, I'm like, yeah, get it. And then she said, and they said, she goes, are you supposed to have a biopsy? I said, only if necessary. Well, she goes, well, this is going to be no biopsy Friday. I'm like, let's go. So God just sent somebody agreeing with me. She took the picture and she said, now you just wait out here and they'll do the ultrasound. And that was a long wait. I don't know, for whatever reason, it was a long wait. And the woman that came out, I could just see it all over her face. And I knew she didn't get good news, you know. And, you know, and then here comes what? That fear again. And then I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I just kept singing in my own head, you know, softly. And that's why I listened to that this morning, because God was reminding me. And I just started worshiping as she left, because, like I said, fear wanted to come back. And I praised through it. And then finally the woman came, took me in, and she's taking the picture, looking at it, doing the ultrasound. We're just having conversation. And I just asked her a few questions, and then she says, well, I need to take this down so it can be read. And, I mean, she wasn't smiling or nothing. And I'm like, praises to your name, oh God, because he is great. Greater than whatever it is that we're into, going through, will go through, he's still great. He's still God. That's the whole thing about worship. We don't worship him for what he does, but for who he is. Remember, what's my girl's name? I think her sister went to church here for a minute. I can't even think of it right now. Yohi? Vicky Yohi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sang that song, because of who you are, I give you glory. Not because of what you did. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are. And I had to keep saying who he was, that he is Rapha. No matter what I hear, no matter what I see, you are Rapha. You're an awesome God. And I had to just get my mind around it, because there's the next waiting period. And when she came back, it was so funny. She came back in, she opened the door, she says, well, you can enjoy your weekend. She said, it's part of the healing process. I went like this. I went, hey! And I got up, and I went like this, and she goes, and she took my hand. We did a happy dance together. I said, get it? Get it? Hey! You know, it was funny. And it was the white sister, too. She was getting it. You know, it was the Holy Ghost. Hey! No. Because there's no color when you come around the throne room. Amen? God removes the stuff that we look at and gets down to who we should be worshiping. Amen? Honey, she took my hand. First, she gave me a double high five. And after I went, hey, and got up and went, woo! And she she took my hand and she just went, God said, let's go. It was funny. And then I cried. I just cried. But God is merciful. He's merciful, merciful, merciful. So it was just part the... she said it was part of the healing process. I said, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because he didn't have to do it, you know. It tells me he's not done with me yet. And nor are you. As long as we have breath to breathe. The Bible says, let everything that have breath do what? It's all about him. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, you're already here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. For who you are. Thank you that you're worthy. Thank you that you're holy. Thank you that you're just. Thank you that you're almighty. Thank you that you love us even when we don't seem lovely. Thank you that your grace is sufficient. Thank you. Just because you are who you say you are. So Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Encourage our souls this morning. May we be built up and fed by you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, whoo, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What do the angels do? Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Why, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Angels what?
Bow before
heaven and
earth
adore him. We are earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels. So it is our priority, our joy to worship him, to give praise to the one who gave us life. When you get born again, the Bible says you're born again of the Spirit of the living God, right? And when you were born again, it's like the umbilical cord was cut. That's what happens when the natural baby's born. The baby now has to feed on its own and breathe on its own. Amen? So as newborn believers, we've got to feed on the word, which we've already talked about in here. We talked about prayer. Amen. And now what happens when we feed on him? Remember we talked about the newborn babe longs for the pure milk of the word of God, that by it you might grow in respects to salvation. As the baby sucks, the most powerful thing is that it leans its head against the breasted one who gave it life. And then, because of the sucking, you begin to pick up what we call the mother tongue. Your neurons in your brain begin to form around the Broca region and the Wernicke region. So now that you are understanding the language of the one who gave you life. Are you following me? And as we love on God, all we can do is say what the angels do around the throne room. you know, over the cherub. If you've not studied the tabernacle, or you've not studied the temple, you need to study that so you can better understand this worship thing. You got to know the old to better understand the new. You realize that, right? Because we're called the what of the living God. Know ye not your what? Body is the what? The temple. Amen. Of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. The two angels, the cherub that sit, one's like this. The mercy seat is here, and another angel is here. And all you hear is, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And all of the angels cry, holy, holy. Why? Because holy means none like him. Hagios, he sits alone. Amen? And I think what happens in the world in which we're living in, we've stopped worshiping. And one of the words in the New Testament you'll see in just a minute is the word proskuneo. And it means to draw near to as to kiss. You're not going to kiss somebody that you really don't know. Are you following me? To draw near to as to kiss. Remember, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth, what? Adore him. Simple old songs we used to sing when I played basketball overseas with News Release. We would sing this song. We sang it in Italian. Father, I adore you. Padre, ti adoro. Ti dono la mia vita. Doesn't matter what language you're singing in. Every earthen vessel will adore him. Amen? So when we think about this, and I want you to think about worship, not as the act of what you do per se, but you are a God. Go to John 4 real quick. This is one of the verses in your packet. Go to, ooh, boy, it's all clean and white. Woo, mercy. Like shiny clean. This is what a teacher be loving a boy like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, holla. Ain't no black strokes yet. Okay, so John 4, 24. I love this because 4 is the number of the earth. The four corners of the earth. North, south, east, west. There were four corners of the sheet that dropped down on Peter when God had to put him in a trance because he was walking into his Jewish prejudice and didn't want to hang with Gentiles. And God said, that's why I'm sending Paul, who I'm going to convert from Saul, because your heart still ain't ready yet. And it was a sheet, and it talked about the four corners of the sheet, and it was symbolic to say that no matter where mankind is, all of them are mine. Amen? But 4 is the number of the earth. 2 is the number of fellowship. So why is this? No matter where you go in the earth, God desires fellowship with everybody in the earth. Just saying. But John 4:24, what does it say? Anybody there? God is what? God is spirit. The word there is pneuma. Pneuma, where we get breath from. P-N-E-U-M-A. God is pneuma, and those who what? Uh-oh. Those who what? Worship him must what? Worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Y'all. Now, this is easier than we make it sometimes. I think we try to complicate things, and this is why we don't walk in what God's given us as just earthen vessels in love with him, just adoring him. Just adoring him. I mean, folks can sing songs like, my eyes adored you. You know, they can sing all their little love songs. I mean, back in the day, I used to think before I really knew who he was, I thought Michael Bolton was a blue-eyed black man, man. That part looks, you know, anyway. I'm supposed to live without you. You know, and why, and we, they can sing it about an earthen vessel, and we can't sing it about our living God. I adore you, Father, I adore you. But here's the part that I want us to look at, and then we're going to come back to your sheet, Lord willing. Anyway. Worship, proskuneo, to draw near to is to kiss. And we'll come back to the text because this particular verse was dealing with a woman who came with a vessel to get water during a time of day where women usually didn't go out there by themselves. They gathered with some of the other sisters, but she didn't really want to be around all the other sisters because this sister had been with a brother that just wasn't her man. You know what I'm saying? Well, he was her man, but he wasn't her married man. Because Jesus said to her, remember, he says, give me a drink. And she said, what do you, a Jewish man, have to do with me, a Samaritan woman? He said, if you knew who it was who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him. And whoever drinks of the water that I have to give will never thirst again. He said, oh, where can I get this water? He said, where's your husband? Earl? She said, I have none. He goes, that's right. You've had five and the one you're with now is not yours. What was he saying to this woman? He said, you know what? When you drink of the water I give you, you've been starving, and this is why this word's important, you've been starving for intimacy, but you've settled for sexuality, and you've never been satisfied. Starving for intimacy, settling sexuality, and never satisfied. That's where a lot of this generation is today. It's scary. Because it's not, remember, God is, you just said it, God is what? Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him how? And in truth. And what that means, you who are a born again spiritual being, your spirit connects with the spirit of the living God in worship. You already are His. Are you with me? If you're born again, you're His. He just wants you to connect with Him. In spirit and in, and we already discovered in the earlier classes that John 17:17 tells us, set apart thy servants in truth, for thy word is truth. Amen? So, spiritual disciplines, let's back up, as you are learning about walking with Him, talking with Him, in your word, in prayer with Him, that word becomes growing in you, and the word always is in, watch, remember the number two is the number fellowship, it also means to agree with. You are always in agreement with Him when you're agreeing with the truth that the word says about Him. Am I making sense? And then out of, the Bible says, out of your belly, when you drink, there's another place in John 7 where He says, if anyone's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And when you drink of His water, the Bible says in John 7, out of your what? Belly. The depths of your being shall what? Flow. What kind of water?
Living water.
Rivers of what kind of water?
Living water.
Hey, there's a difference. There's a difference in living water and in dead still water. What's the difference between a fresh spring well, like Arkansas has those, don't they? Hot springs has the springs coming up from the ground. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Artesian well. What's the difference in an artesian well and the Dead Sea? It does what?
Flows on through.
Okay. Anita, this is my bestest friend. She's a lighter shade of brown, but that's my girl. That's my ride or die. Anyway, Anita, can you tell us a little bit about a well and why He used a well here? See, she loves this text. She didn't know I was going to do this, but I'm doing it. Sorry. By the well that was given to who? Make sure they can hear you.
Joseph by Jacob, his dad. And that well is still there today after all these years because it has a source from the mountain. And so a living water means it has a source. Like the Dead Sea is dead because it has been cut off from its source. So it's actually decreasing in size. So
it's a living well because it's still what?
Connected
to what? Oh, who's your source? Y'all feeling this? See, when you are connected to the source, that's why I said, when you come to me and drink, you never run out. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why? Because the word, by the way, is living and what? Active. You can, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when He's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's not, we talked about this last week, it's not just praying in an unknown tongue or an unknown language. That's just part of the picture. When you pray the truth, which is the word, you're praying in the
Spirit.
Because He's called the Spirit of truth, who leads us and guides us into all truth. Are you following me? Because see, we have people that argue over crazy things, but real worship is just being connected to the one you adore. And you stay connected to your source By talking to him, loving on him, telling him how much you love him and appreciate him and are grateful for him. He is the king. Amen. You come into the presence of the king. We enter his gates with what? Just thank him. Just thank him. Start thanking him. Not for what he's done, but for who he is. Just thank him. And then when you get into the presence, you enter his gates with thanksgiving and into. Once you're in the courts, then you begin to what? You praise him. And once you're in the presence of the courts of the king, you worship him. It is protocol to bow down and worship. It's also protocol to bring gifts to a king. Amen? Which we'll look at in a minute. So going to your little sheet there, if you can see it here, the object of a personal idea that receives most of your time, thoughts, and efforts. And see, when you sing songs of worship, you can't get that out of your mind. See, the auditory cortex of the brain, you know, I always got to talk about the brain up in here, because it's a big part of what I know, but the auditory cortex or the temporal lobe is also the place where your memory bank, the learning piece, the hippocampus is where we have learned memory. All right? The amygdala, that's a place of strong passion and emotion. Are you with me? And that's why it's okay to be passionately in love with him. And then you remember, you can remember the things, yes, that he's done, but you remember songs that are sung too. Are you all with me? You wake up in the morning, old school, mother just said, woke up this morning with my mind, what? Stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind. People used to sing those kind of songs. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm cray cray, but I'm not. I think we've got to get back to a place where you're walking and talking and praising the Lord. Some of the most spirit-filled people I know were people that worked in schools and they were janitors or maintenance people. Happy in Jesus. They might not have all the fluff that we have in Brentwood, whatever, but they are walking and talking and sweeping and mopping with a smile on their face and talking about the Lord. The other song that kept going through my mind sitting in that room when I saw the woman with, I knew she got some news that was hard. I've been there. And the other one that kept going through my head was the one I sang earlier, but an old school one. Lord, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, be a fence. I'm asking for God's protection. Are you with me? I had to call on the one that I knew was my protector. Thank God for the oncologist. Thank God for the surgeons. Thank God for the radiologist oncologist. But at the end of the day, he is Rapha. And because he loves you, your loved one will always protect you. Amen? He says he's your father who will always protect you. So somebody we adore, A.W. Tozer, I have his library at my house, and A.W. Tozer, FYI, learned on his knees. He said, worship is to feel in your heart and express in some appropriate manner a humbling but delightful sense of admiring awe and astonished wonder and overpowering love in the presence of that most ancient mystery, that majesty which philosophers call the first cause, but we call our Father which art in heaven. My thing is this. I don't read the Word of God because it's the right Christian thing to do. I read it because I'm in love with the author. And if you begin to see worship as God, you know, leaving you, number one, a love letter, and that you are betrothed to one. When you said yes to Jesus, you got engaged. Because there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm in the book. It's in Revelation. Are y'all with me? I think sometimes we don't talk about what's in the book, and we get caught up in what, watch now, the world depicts as worship. Start reading the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and the temple, and begin to see what the priests did. And how they readied themselves for worship. And it really is a picture for us. So many things. Don't have time to dive. But when you understand what Jesus was saying. And he was speaking to a Judean culture. Are you following me? What a Jewish man would do when he was betrothed to a woman. He would come and watch now. Knock at the door of the house. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and what? Y'all ever hear that? Evangelists use that all the time. But really what the bridegroom would do, he would come to the house of a maiden to say, I wish to, and he would knock on the door. Now watch this. The father opens the door. No one knows the Father but the Son. No one knows the Son but the Father. And no one knows the Father, no one knows the Son but whom the Father wills to reveal him to. Are you with me still? So the Father looks up. He realizes that he is carrying with him a ketubah. And what a ketubah is, it is a scroll of promises. I will love you with an everlasting love. I will never leave you or forsake you. It's all the promises that the bridegroom would be to this betrothed one that he's about to be betrothed to. Are you with me still? So what he would do, you know, and back then, Pookie, Judy, Mama, everybody lived in the same house, you know, all up in the maybe three apartment building, whatever, all of them up in there. And like, hey, I see a girl, he got a ketubah. Mm-hmm. Where Rebecca at? He coming for you. So, Rebecca! She comes down and she sees him with a ketubah. And the father turns and says, Rebecca, there's one calling for you. See, the father opens the door, but you have to accept the one who's coming in. Am I making sense? She says, yes, he comes in. Everything begins at that time. He tells the father what he would be to her. They exchange, watch this, gifts. And the father, there's a price paid. Hello. There's a price paid by the family of the bride. Y'all with me? There's a price paid. Let me say it one more time. There's a price paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt. See, he paid a price for you. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Am I making sense? Then they would take the cup. I take my little water bottle because I'm thirsty. He drank from the cup. The father would be there. And then he smashed the cup. He said, I will not drink from the cup again until I come back for my bride at the wedding day. Are you with me still? It was a picture of what was happening in the Jewish culture. How many of y'all have ever read? And I'm still talking worship because it's about a love relationship. What did Jesus say? Remember, Matthew, I believe it's 25. Every night, there was something that a Jewish betrothed woman would do. After he would leave and what he would do, he'd open the ketubah and he'd tell her everything that he would do for her, all the promises, everything that he would be. They smash the cup, he leaves. What she would do is go upstairs. We're talking about drawing near to the one that we worship and we adore and we're in love with. We're in what with? Love with. It's not about doing the Christian thing. We got so many Christians that walk around like they're mad at the world. Praise the Lord. Mouth so low they could eat oats off the curb. I mean, they're sour. I'm working for the Lord. I'm fighting for Jesus. Never smile. No joy. I like to laugh, y'all. And I like to laugh, gut belly laugh sometimes. And I like to have fun. I was the announcer at the track meet the other day, and I had a good time. I'd be like, and bring them home, everybody. And it was so funny because there's power in encouragement. And it doesn't hurt to be nice. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile.
Right.
I look at some Christians sometimes, I'm like, dang. You need to go get in your worship class. Huh? Anyway, but it's about a love relationship. What she would do when he would leave, it's a twofold thing. I'll get to the sheet. Can you roll with me here? It's a twofold thing because there's a couple words in here I want you to see. And we're going to shift them a little bit. Because some people do worship because they think it's the right thing to do as a Christian. The spiritual disciplines. Discipline. Remember, bodily discipline profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, not only in this life and the life to come. It just means somebody that's conditioning themselves. I want you to get so conditioned to love him and let him love back on you. The Bible actually says these things over you. But here's what would happen. When he would leave, she would go upstairs. What's that little scarf? See, the Lord knew. I just need to take this off. She would go upstairs and then she would, whenever she went out in public, she would veil herself. Saying, world, I'm spoken for. There's one coming after me. My beloved's coming back to me. Are you with me? So she would put a veil on every day. World, I'm spoken for. Why? Because she's in love. Someone's coming back for her. How did she grow in love? Because she had to grow in love. Because he just brought the ketubah. She's like, who he is? Oh, I saw him over there in the market, but I didn't know he was caring about me. You know, so he comes, he woos her, and then he leaves. So when she goes upstairs, gets that, goes out in public, he goes home to his father's house. You with me? He ascends and he tells the disciples he's coming back, just like he said he would, Andre Crouch, old school. He's coming back. He goes up, he goes to his father's house, and he begins to build an extension to his father's house. In my father's house, there are many what?
Mansions.
Ah. And he's building. Zubaz, Zubaz, that's a saw. And he's building and he's singing, there's a wedding coming on the Son of Man. Christ is coming back for his bride. She makes ready. The question is, are we making ready? Are we growing in love with him? That's what worship's about. It's not about doing a militaristic thing and a job and a chore as a Christian. She makes ready. Love is welling in her heart. Angels gather rejoicing at her side. He's singing a wedding song, and boy, and they go, Dad, Dad, can I go get my bride? He goes, not yet, son, not yet, not yet. Because the Bible says, he says that no one knows the hour but the Father. Can I go get her? He goes, son, I know you're ready, but she's not. She makes ready. Love is welling in her heart. Are you growing in love with him? That's what real worship is all about. Prostuneo, to draw near to, is to kiss. It's about growing in love with him. So you know what she does? At nighttime, Matthew 25, at nighttime, she goes upstairs and she makes sure there's enough oil in her lamp, puts it by the window, because she never knew when he would come back. He might come back in the middle of the night. Oh boy. Y'all don't read your Bible. He might come back in the middle of the night. And what the bridegroom does, he waits to see, did she wait on him? Every night. And then she pull out that ketubah. He loves me. Even if my foot slip, he's there for me. What a nursing mother forget the child of a womb. Yeah, even those forget, but I've not forgotten you. I've inscribed you in the palms of my hand. It's the loving kindness of God that draws you. And she's reading that love letter. And so while he's singing, there's a wedding, she's singing, I want to be where you are. Dwelling in your presence. Feasting at your table. Surrounded by your glory. I just want to be with you. Just to be close to you. See, the world sings it. And we don't even know how to draw near to the Lord. Sorry. But you know what's happening? They are starving for this. And they sing about this. Oh, come on. We've got to grow in love with him. She's growing in love with him. She's singing those love songs. Rebecca. Yes, mother, still here. Keep waiting, daughter. Keep growing in love, daughter. She'd go out to the marketplace because she'd been in worship at night singing love songs. And in the morning getting prepared singing love songs. I love you. I love you. You with me? She's just growing in love. Her spirit is welling up in praise and in adoration for the one she is already connected to spiritually. Are you all with me? And then on that day, because her spirit is full, the two now become one. Oh, God. Oof, stop. Slow down. Whee. I'm getting excited in my own spirit here. Just listening to what I know God wants us to see. It's not about a ritual, y'all. If you don't hear anything else I say, worship is not about a ritual. Although it was ritualistic in that day, what he did was smash the door open so that everybody could come and do what the priest did and offer up a sacrifice. And that tells us in Hebrews, we continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Amen. So one night, the father turns to the son. He says, son, go get your bride. And the Bible says there'll be a loud shout from heaven. Yee-haw! That's Texas. I went to school in Texas. And he gets with his bride's groom men. And they mount horses. And he, whoa, wait. I got to see if she waited. And he sees that the lantern was lit. Hallelujah for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come and the bride has made herself ready. Whew, what a day. You see the difference? Well, we need to pray. We need to read the Word. Yep. Yep. We need to study. And we need to worship. Those are the spiritual disciplines. And they are spiritual disciplines. But the worship one is the fun one because you grow in love with the one. Amen? And if you come with that perspective, all you know to do is to call out to the one that you know will lovingly protect you. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost in one. The Father is Pater, P-A-T-E-R, one who provides for, one who protects, and one who nourishes. And the Son comes to do the same thing. A bridegroom would do like unto a father. Because you leave your father's house and now you become one unto him. Does that make sense? He does for us who the Father says we, you know, he would want us to be. And he wants us connected to the Father, but through him, if that makes sense. Thoughts, comments, ahas, and then I'm going to run through your sheet. That's the picture to me. I could close the book and go home. But I want you to understand it is about growing in love. And when you're around someone so much, you start to talk like them. You ever notice that? You start having the same thoughts. It's like, oh, I was thinking that too. And sometimes you even dress alike. You're like, every day we wear the same color. What's that about? There's a connection walking with him. I tell people I want them, when they've been in my presence, to feel as though they had a bubble bath in Jesus. But they won't feel that if I've not gone past the outer courts into the holy place and past the bowl of incense. And now I have the fragrance on me. And when I come out, that fragrance, it effervesces. How do I know? 2 Corinthians tells us, but thanks be to God who always, not sometimes, always leads us in his triumph. And watch this, manifests through us, vessels, the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Not just some places, not just on Sunday in church and Wednesday Bible study, every place. On that job where people can work your nerves and even your reserve nerve. At home when you're cheering like, I tell you. Sorry. But, you know, even then, he's still God. He's still there. He's still in the... in it. Because he lives in you, y'all. Do you realize who lives in you? Whew, mercy. Thoughts, comments, ahas. Questions? Yes. So, really, say your name for me.
Liliana.
Liliana. Yes, ma'am.
The
analogy of the bride?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. I'm so in love for that. And I didn't... made before the connection of about the lamp.
The lamp.
Mm-hmm. How the oil represents.
Yes.
Our constant oil because we yes. are cooling.
Yes.
You know, the lamp.
You are dead on. She's right on. We continually fill that lamp. Amen? Constantly. And actually, in the tabernacle, what they had to do at the temple, they had to keep the fire burning. It was the priest's job to keep that fire burning. Once they got it going, you never let it go out. Are y'all with me? In Texas, they say, put another log on fire. Yeah, sorry. I went to school at UT, Hook'em, the other UT. But it's our job to be continually filled, keeping that oil. The oil is the oil of the Holy Spirit. And you keep that thing. That's where that other passage in Jude, one of the ways that we build ourselves up in the most holy faith is praying in the Holy Spirit. That's one way. You pray the word. Amen. Pray in an unknown tongue that God has flourished your soul with. But you get built up. You get built up. Why? To go build others. It's not just for you and it's not even about you. It's about him and his love for the world. For God so loved the... Ooh, mercy. Y'all get me all excited. Someone else. Yes. Can y'all hear her? Okay, well, make sure everybody can hear. Go ahead.
About the, you know, him, the bridegroom coming to the door and knocking. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing that there's some, I'm Sierra Leonean, so there's some parallels to what you've said about our culture, too.
Come on, teach me!
So, yeah, we have the knocking and everything, and sometimes the... You actually have to pay the bridegroom or
yes.
Sometimes it's the other way, but they're just parallel.
Yes, there's an exchange.
They're waiting and everything. And the other thing is, you know, this morning I was talking to my kids about worship. You know, when they go up, you know, make sure you worship. And it's amazing how you tell your kids something and God's telling you, okay, you have to do it another way. So I'm learning a lot from this.
Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Anyone else care to share? See, the Holy Spirit's our teacher. See, this is what's so beautiful, what she said, the parallels. You know, Sierra Leonean, she said, no matter where you go in the world, you will see a parallel. When I was overseas in Africa, my first trip to South Africa, and I spoke at a conference called, Impact South Africa. And I met an Indian brother, not American Indian, but India from India. And sweet as he could be. And he was telling me the first time that he heard the gospel story was from his grandmother. And she was beginning to make a drink that they had to use coconut milk with. And he said she would take the coconut and she would bring the coconut in. And she said, sometimes you have to find the right one. And she said, and she would knock it three times. Boom, boom, boom. Like Christ on the cross. And she just shared the gospel with a coconut. And he poured out his blood for you. I was like, oh my gosh. And he shared it with me. It doesn't matter where you go, the language of the kingdom is the language of the kingdom. And no matter where you go, it's about love. Proskuneo, to draw near to his kiss. It's really about love. And out of love, you do some of the ritual things. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts or comments as I roll through? Yes.
I guess what resonated with me so far is just the whole point of staying connected. So the living water.
Yes.
That and having that source and keep feeding that source. And that kind of reminded me of the lamp. You're feeding that lamp, keeping that source going there and reading the letter and just trying to make sure that basically immersing yourself in the word, and, you know, these things that they were doing.
Amen. Amen. The bride has made herself ready. Yes, sir.
I noticed that there had to be a great level of faith in all of this, because in all likelihood, they didn't know each other intimately. They didn't know each other. They only knew each other by name and may have seen them in the courtyard or something.
Absolutely.
So there's a great deal of faith that he will be responsible for what he said he will do.
Well, that's good.
Okay, and then she will be responsible for doing what she said.
Amen. A great amount of faith. You are saved by what? Grace through, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there is a faith to trust that he's coming back, to trust that he will do. You are absolutely right. But see, when you start reading those promises and holding to those promises, like, okay, just like he said he would, is he coming back? You have the notes because they're written out for you. Amen. I'm looking here. Y'all don't even have a blank space nowhere. I'm like, because he knows me. I'm all over the map. But have you noticed how when we've done the sheet? You know, God knows what he knows. But if you'll go to this passage, I want you to see a couple of them. I already alluded to the one in Romans 12:1. But, you know, one of the things that we have to realize, our response to God and worship, it says there, it's both personal and corporate. You can't, you won't worship corporately until you first worship privately. Amen? See, we come together. Hebrews says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as such is the habit of some. But when we worship together, it's all coming together like the angels in glory saying, holy, 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 and giving him praise due his name. Amen. My Bible's somewhere. Oh, here it is. I threw it down there. Okay, let me read this Isaiah 40:21-29 to you. When you realize that, you know, we connect because of who's in us. Amen? Mm-hmm. We connect because of who's in us. And because of the one seated on high, we can worship together because of whom we worship. That's what's so cool. All right, Doctor. Isaiah 40. All right, here we go. 40:21-29. I'll read. You can follow, take notes, or whatever. 40, 21 to 29. I'm going to go through specific things and not everything because you can read. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. But 40 verses 21 to 29, it says this. Have you not known? This is one of my favorite verses. You know, have you not heard? Actually, this is the beginning of, I love this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? One translation says in another place, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the universe, never becomes weary nor tired. Amen? Though vigorous young men stumble badly, those who wait upon him, he renew their strength. But this one's a little bit different. This one says, have you not known, have you not heard, has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stalk take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them, and they will wither. And he's trying to show you the magnificence of who our God is. Amen? You keep reading, it says, verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. There's none like him. He is the only one set apart like he is. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all what? By name. By the greatest of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? I mean, he just starts telling them, like, who you think you is? Remember when Job came to him? Now, Lord. And God said to him, this is enough for me. When God said, where were you when I did this? When you start to see who he is in the text, you realize the magnificence of who this God is, the creator of the universe, that desires fellowship with you. That's sobering to me. This is the God that wants to know us. Actually wants us to know him because he already knew us before he even made us. Amen? So, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? He says it again. The everlasting God, the creator of the universe, there it is, never becomes weary, nor does he faint. Watch this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who do what? Wait on the Lord. What will he do? Renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will what? Run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. We go to that verse without reading the precursor. He's repeating himself and saying, listen, I'm the one that can give you strength. Because he's already told him who he really was. Am I making sense? I am, as Anita alluded to, and as we talked about that fountain, I am the source. I'm the source. I'm the one. In other words, kids will say, I got you. He says to, I got you. And no one can snatch you what? From my hand. No one. Two-fisted grip. Father got you on one side, son got you on the other. Well, even though you fall, whoa, hey, got you. That's a good God, y'all. You know what's powerful about this? Youth and the elderly are together in the same passage. He says, vigorous young men stumble badly. It's because when you're running and you're in a hurry, you tend to trip up and fall. You with me? And see, when you run, you only have to trust every so often. But see, as you get older and you've learned to walk with him and talk, remember we said about the garden? We talked about prayer. I come to the garden alone. He walks with me and talks to me. See, as you get older, you slow your roll. As you get older, see, I can't run and jump like I used to. These bones don't do like they do, nor the muscles either. But when you take, now, it's not gates. Now I trust him with every step. Because I know him like that. You see what I'm saying? As you get older, because you've journeyed with him. And the old need the young, and the young need the old, and we can teach each other about worship. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, verse number 3. Worship is giving unto God all that he deserves and is worthy while realizing that we cannot actually offer him anything of value apart from what he's already given us. What do we have to give to him? His streets are paved with gold. Hallelujah. Gates of pearls. He rich. He ain't nothing we can give him but ourselves. Loving him. loving him. Apart from Christ, we have nothing of value to give him. Christ has placed in our hands the very means necessary to bring gifts before his throne because of what he already accomplished for us at Calvary. Yeah, we can come because of what Christ did. That's what gives us access into the presence of God. We can come. The Bible says, I love this one, my favorite verses, Hebrews. Write the reference down. You can put it in your notes there. Hebrews chapter 4. It says, since therefore we have so great a high priest, we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tried in all things as we are. Amen? But without sin. And because of that, it says that we can come to the throne room of what? Grace. Come to the throne room of grace to find mercy and grace. Watch this, to help in time of need. That's why the old mothers would say, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. They used to say, you can't hurry God. You just have to wait. Because God will be who he will be when he will be what he will be for us when we need him. Amen? He always sees everything that we go through. He doesn't blink, nor sleep, nor slumber. We just read that. He sees. But sometimes he's growing us. Like, see, what is that? Like, again, the world says absence makes the what? Heart grow what? Why do they say that? Why do they say absent makes the heart grow fonder? I'm not even using this. I don't even know why it's here. Why do they say that? You can talk. This is your time to talk. Why would somebody say that? Absent makes the heart grow fonder. Why would somebody say that?
Just because there's a longing, anticipation.
There's a longing and anticipation. You're hoping that, you know, you think about this. When people go away, you're hoping and anticipating their return. That's how we should be, ever more so for the Lord our God. He is coming back, y'all. Maranatha means come, Lord Jesus. Amen? Y'all, I tell you, I got some more folk I wanted to know him before he come, but, you know, he is coming. What's so beautiful, we talked about, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know the verse, tells us, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your body, a living and holy sacrifice, at your reasonable service of what? Worship. Amen? Unto him. Go to, I guess your second page there. We are a living sacrifice. Why? Because we're still alive. We continue to offer up, as it says in Hebrews, a sacrifice of what? We used to sing the song, praise. We bring a sacrifice of what? Praise into the house of the Lord. We offer unto you the sacrifices of what? Thanksgiving. Amen? See, when you're thankful, it can change your world.
Yes.
It can change your world. It's a great book by Merle Carruthers called From Prison to Praise. From Prison to Praise. Old book. But it teaches us that when we're going through stuff where we feel like we're in prison, you begin to praise him. And it's like a jailhouse break in Acts 16. Amen? There were two brothers in prison. And not only did they get free, but everybody around them got free when they started giving glory to God just for who he was. Amen? As you look at number two, it says Christ was and is the ultimate living sacrifice. Amen? Because that's what the priests did. They came and offered a sacrifice on the altar of God. And they could only come how often? Who knows? Once a year they went into the Holy of Holies. And then when Christ died on the cross, the Bible says the veil was rent from top to bottom so that all mankind can have access into that throne room now. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto him because we can't get in there without it. Amen. First, it's the blood that covers us. Passover is a powerful thing, y'all, because it was the father who had to go get the lamb for the family and kill it. And he wore a vestment to where when he would come in the house, he was a bloody mess. And everybody in the house knew what the father had done for the family. And he made sure that that blood was on that doorpost. Whew. He wanted to make sure that Johnny and Sue and Shakita and everybody was covered. Sorry. Cultural, you know. He just wanted to make sure everybody was covered. And that's what Christ has done for us. Powerful picture. There's so much. It's just, I get overwhelmed sometimes. You can tell my little crazy self, but you're tracking with me. Hallelujah. So how do we worship God? We worship God, we already said this, in spirit and in truth. Told you, see, Holy Ghost knew. We worship God in spirit when we receive salvation in Christ. Amen? Because your spirit instantly is connected with Him. We worship God in truth when we worship Him not only in sincerity, all right, but also when we hold Him to what He said He would do. When He left us that love letter, we hold Him. God, You said. Lord, Your word says, and I thank You that Your word says. When we thank Him in all things, not for all things, that's when I begin. Like the other day, I had to thank Him. Father, I thank You that I see the screen. She showed it to me, but Lord, I thank You. You are Rapha. Lord, I thank You. You are my healer. Lord, I thank You who You are. And I just kept talking about who He was. And be a fence all around me every day. Father, I thank You. You're worthy. You're worthy. You love me. I thank You. I thank You. And I start thanking Him for who He is. And then when you do that, it gets your eyes off of who? Gets your eyes off yourself and your situation. Put your hand right up in front of your face like this. Is it hard to see? Now slowly move it away. You see, when you begin to worship Him, all the things around you become dim in the light of knowing Him. Amen? He's a good God. We worship Him with praise and thanksgiving. We already said this. Psalm 100, we enter His gates with what? Into His courts with what? God's presence comes in the midst of His people. We've already said this. God inhabits the what? Praises of His people. Hallelujah. Praise, according to the Word of God, is one of the greatest weapons of warfare. Praise is also a warring weapon. Amen? We're almost done. We'll run through this. Here's what I see. Jehoshaphat's army, that's what this is alluding to in 2 Chronicles 21 through 30. You can go back and look at it. But they were about to go to war. And Jehoshaphat, he was scared initially. Remember, fear, false evidence appearing real. And so what he did, instead of going and getting the big buff army, he said, sopranos. Who can sing alto? I got any drummers in the house? Anybody beat a tambourine? All right. And he put the praisers in front. The army marched behind the praisers. Because he knew God inhabits. You have to understand. He knew he was Jewish. He knew the writings of old. God inhabits the praises of His people. And they would sing, blessed be the Lord for His mercy and earth forever and ever. That's what they were singing in their language. Blessed be the Lord whose mercy and earth forever and ever. And then the drums started kicking it. Diggy, 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 ta, ta, ta. Blessed be the Lord. Hey, ah. I mean, now they're caught up in praise. And God, the Bible says, sent ambushmen. They didn't have to do anything but praise God and keep marching. Don't have time. Another illustration. There are several places in the Bible. Acts 16 is the one we talked about earlier, when Paul and Silas, when they were in the prison, when they began to praise God and worship God in the third cell. They were down in the pit of the pit, stanky, because they were in chains. They couldn't go to the bathroom nowhere. Hello. And they were praising God. And then God sent an earthquake. And the Bible says that the chains came off of everybody, not just them. That's a whole nother day, another message. Good Lord. Praise and thanksgiving realigns our soul and heart and mind. We talked about this. When you praise Him, it gets you in tune with Him. Amen? Now, this part is the part that I wanted to look at here. The whole piece, you see where it says obedience to His Word and obedience to the Holy Spirit's leadership? When you obey God, I want you to look at it in another light. Not that I'm going to obey Him and do the right thing. I want you to look at it like submission. I'm coming under His mission. I'm submitting to Him. He's the one in authority. He's got me. So I'm going to come under His mission and let Him go ahead of me. You with me? See it in that way, that we obey Him. Humble obeisance. It means really to bow, obeisance, to bow down. You with me? So I bow down. Yes, Lord. Where You lead me, I will follow. What You feed me, I will swallow. Father, I love You. And out of love, the heart will be disciplined to do the things that He says. What's the greatest commandment, by the way? What's the greatest foremost commandment? Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and He said, if you do that piece right there, everything else falls in place. Everything else falls in place. But we get caught up because we live in a world, y'all, that distracts us. Anita and I were talking about that this morning. Little children, it starts with the little ones. Distractions all the time. Distract, get you off track of where God wants you to go. Learning to hone your focus on Him. And I'm almost 60 years old, y'all, and I have to learn to pull my soul back in line with my spirit. Are you following me? Your spirit always wants to do the right thing. But your soul, it's who's going to control it. Either the outward circumstances or the enemy. Or am I going to allow the Holy Spirit to rise up in me like a well because I've been drinking? Here's how you get water out of a pump that is low. You have to prime the pump. Amen? It means you got to put some water in it to get water out of it. Okay, just saying. But that's what happens. Sometimes I have to check myself because I can get in a way where I get irritated and frustrated, and I get around and I start complaining like everybody else and working my nerves, and you're all caught up in that, and literally it can begin to be toxic to your own physical body. Are y'all with me? What kept the children of Israel going around and around in the desert? Murmuring and complaining. And that's why when we begin, that's why we enter His gates with thanksgiving. First, thankful. Tell people all the time, why are you so excited? You know, you're doing this, you're doing that. I said, well, when I look back, I take a good look back. He said, you good looking? Yeah, because I take a good look. I take a good look back. And I remember where He's met me all along the way. Father, I thank You, not only for all of that, but because of who You are, I give You glory. As we wrap this up, what happens when we worship God? When we worship God corporately and individually, we're participating in the very activity of heaven. Revelation 4, 8 through 11. I want to read this one because, again, every tribe and every tongue. See, I get around folks sometimes and I think, you know what? God will use whoever He wants to use, whenever He wants to use them, to do whatever He wants to do. And who are we to say who He can and cannot use? Amen? He'll use whoever He wants to use to do whatever He wants to do. Because when we get there, it's going to be everybody that loves Him. And this text, I'm going to just read it to you. In 4, 8 through 11, it says this. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, we did this already, amen? Holy, holy, there goes the microphone, holy is the Lord Almighty. See, hallelujah, who was and is to come. I mean, that's what they were saying, hallelujah, amen? Who was and said and is to come, whenever the living creatures give glory. Now watch this, whenever, the living creatures give glory. Can I ask you a question? Are you a living creature? Yes. Okay. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who does what? Sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him, who sits on the throne and worship Him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. You see, whenever, it doesn't say when we get to glory, it says whenever. Can you, woo, whenever, living creatures. Y'all, do you realize, remember, angels minister to who? The heirs of salvation. When you start worshiping God and giving Him glory, the angels just join in glory. They're like, hey, Renee got it now. This is it. And they're like, yeah, say it, girl. Holy. Hey, I'll join in. Holy. Holy. And the whole host is saying, holy is the Lord God who was and is to come. Y'all, we get a little bit of heaven on earth. Why? Thy kingdom come, thy will be what? as it is in heaven. You start praising God and worshiping God to start your day and throughout the day. I told you, there are days at work I have to go outside and take a walk. And I either walk and pray, or I walk and I hum and I sing. And it gets me back in line, because I can be pretty feisty when you work my nerves. You know what I'm saying? So I've got to get on out, check myself, get in line, and come on back. I mean, I'm riding with three brothers. I'm the lone sister in this little road trip to Cincinnati, and we're going to a diversity symposium. Whee, glory. So as we travel together, I ask the Savior to help me. All right, sorry. Yeah, he will. Anyway, God's good. But what I'm trying to tell you is that God is going to teach us how to love one another when we learn to love him first. You can't love other people till you first, number one, love him and let him love you. Then you can love your brother and your sister. Amen. I love Isaiah 26:3. I will keep you in perfect peace as you keep your what? Your mind stayed on me. Woke up this morning. See, we already did this. With my mind stayed on Jesus. All right. As we close, are y'all getting anything? You encouraged? I pray you're encouraged. I wish we could keep this going. I'm having such a good time. Y'all help me every week. Y'all have no idea. So God destroys our enemies. We already said that. And what God did in the Chronicles, read that story. He sent ambushmen when Jehoshaphat, when they praised him, put the praises out front. Those stuck in darkness around us are set free. That's Acts 16. We already talked about that. But as we close here, it says God's presence and power comes into, this is so cool, it comes into our circumstances. When you praise him in the midst of whatever, he'll give you that shoo, the shalom, that peace that surpasses your own what? And then it says it'll guard your heart and your mind. Amen. That's what we need guarded. But that's how good our God is. But that's what worship does for you. Because when you worship him, your eyes are on him and who he is and what he's done, and not on yourself. Amen. Yeah, we actually finished the sheet. Isn't God good? What I want to do as we close, y'all, I have thoroughly enjoyed these 4 weeks. I have indeed. And I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that the word has come alive to you in a fresh way. Please, ma'am, sir, email me. One of the things that I want to do, and I told you this before, I've been talking with my web master. We want to do courses online, but my heart is to teach the Word of God to this generation. So I would appreciate your prayers. It's time to just to get it out there. I'm awakened once again to this little earthen vessel in our mortality. And we don't know the day nor the hour, but every day I get breath to breathe, I'm going to give him praise. So I love you. I appreciate you. I pray God's blessing on you. And hopefully we'll get together again in another class. Amen. Amen. Okay. May the peace of God be with you. The grace of God be with you. Father, cover my brothers and sisters. And your word says, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In Jesus' name.